Step welcome each and every one. I welcome the sound men team here and the worship team that they've led this morning. Thank you for coming and serving. But I also want to especially welcome those that are listening this morning. May you feel the power of His grace as Paul speaks about it. And this morning, I wish that to you too, just as well. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What would we do if we didn't have grace? What would we do if we didn't have the Holy Spirit to lead us? What would we do if we didn't have one that could guide us? One that would reprove us? One that would want to testify through our lives? One that wants to teach us? Today is a day what we call Pentecost, celebration of Pentecost. A day that has been handed down from almost 2,000 years ago. After the time that Jesus went to heaven, he's 10 days later, according to Scripture, he sent down the Holy Spirit upon his disciples and is there also for everyone. Praise God for it. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, is there someone this morning that is depressed? Is there someone that feels lonely today morning? Is there someone that feels unworthy? God, your Spirit is there for each and every one who asks. And this morning I pray, if there is someone, and if they are pleading out with you to fill them with your Spirit, oh God, I pray that you would fill that person with your Spirit. And today morning, it may be an edification through your Spirit to lift up each soul that is burdened, that is low. Thank you for listening. We pray for your blessing upon this morning, that the word spoken will be sent by you, and that your Holy Spirit will multiply the fruit of it. This we pray in your precious name. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Pardon me, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 reads as follows. There's a man here called Luke. He wrote the book of Luke, and he's writing, and he says, those former things, those things that I've written in the past and the other books have I made, he says to Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He's recorded those in a book. And he says, he recorded them until the day in which he was taken up. The day that Jesus was taken up. That's where the recording of Luke kind of ends. And he says, after through the Holy Ghost it had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Luke is saying that this is what Jesus had done. He'd taken the time to speak to them 40 days, teaching them many things. And then he says they were gathered together. He goes on and it just refers a little bit back to what had happened. While they were gathered there together with Jesus, and he says in verse 4, it says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. This is what Jesus commanded his disciples, and Luke writes that, very beautiful, that we can read that. It's not a repeat from one person to the next person where it would have changed over the years, but it's written so everybody can read the same thing. Being assembled, they were gathered together, and he commanded them that they were not supposed to depart from Jerusalem. He gave them a specific place not to leave from. And he says to them, wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, this is Jesus, says this, that God says, ye have heard of me. Jesus says, you have heard this of me. Where had they heard about this? We can read that, and there's numerous places in John that speaks about that. But Jesus tells them to wait. I don't know each disciple, like personally, none of us do here today. But I wonder a little bit when Jesus said to them, wait. And we know a little bit who Peter is. Peter's an, I would say, a little bit of an antsy guy. He likes to go, go, go. And he doesn't sit around. And we know also Jesus told him to go out and preach. And when he came back, just before Jesus went to heaven, he finds Peter fishing again. And he tells Peter, Peter, don't you love me? So Peter's one that he can't just sit around. And I'm just looking at this when, and I'm trying to imagine Peter, and we could do the other ones just as well. Imagine Peter, when he hears these words from Jesus, Jesus says, wait for the promise. And especially when it happens one day, second day, third day, you're like, well, when is this going to happen? I've got stuff to do. I'd love to go fishing. But again, maybe we've been reminded, wait, wait. I think many times we fail in that. Where Psalm David writes in Psalm 46, I believe verse 10, he says, be still and know that I'm God. So many times I'm like, I need to do this, I need to do that. And then when I have time, I'll spend some time with God. I believe we're no different than what the disciples were possibly being together. And that doesn't tell us how antsy they got. But I really, really believe, in my own understanding, is that they will have had a little bit of times where they wanted, like, oh, hey, I'd love to go do something, but, oh, we're supposed to stay here. We're supposed to stay in Jerusalem. We're not supposed to leave. Jesus gave them a promise. Jesus promised the disciples various things. And the promises go for you and me as well today. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, he promises them that if they wait for the Father, you're going to receive something, which he says in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, you will truly be baptized with water. Pardon me, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He didn't give him time, but he says, you will receive something. I have a promise here for you. You will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 7 and 8, he makes a further promise, and he says this, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive. Not ye may, but he says ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses, not maybe, but ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Not just where they are, not just in Jerusalem, where they were waiting upon the promise that Jesus said he was going to send the Holy Spirit, which they were to wait for. But they're supposed to go out after that and spread the word. It's a promise that God gave them that they would receive, or Jesus gave them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something that Luke recorded after that Jesus has gone to heaven. But let's look back to see what did John record of what Jesus had shared. In John chapter 16, here's some promises that John has recorded that Jesus promised. John 16, verse 7, Jesus says in John 16, 7, it is expedient for you that I go away. It is necessary. It is something that would be, we could maybe even say in our own way, it would be best for you if I go away. You know, I think of possibly work that we do, a job that we have. And maybe your boss would come up to you and say, there's nobody that can do this type of job that you're doing like you are. But I know from experience, having heard that from my own boss, I know that walking away and leaving that job and going to a different job, a former boss that I had to search for someone else. And now that person had a chance and an ability, a chance in life to step up with the gift that he had received to do the same work or even better work than I had done. Now, we know that we can't do better work than Jesus Christ. But Jesus left so that he could spread out his gift and the word through his disciples in the beginning of when the first church was started. And so he says, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, remember, he's saying, if I do not go, if I do not leave, he says, the Comforter will not come unto you. You will not receive that. And today we could say, if Jesus would have stayed here, if Jesus would not have left earth, what benefit would we have in Canada? He would still be in Israel, maybe just walking that area. Well, maybe he would fly out here once in a while and come and visit us. But would we all get to see him? No, we wouldn't. But Jesus would still be there, and he would be their comforter in that area. But will we have him? No. Jesus saw it necessary that if he left, the Comforter could come, and it could be spread across the world, as he told them in Acts, as Luke records, to go out into the uttermost parts of the earth. And so he says, it is expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus, we know, is the way, the truth, and life. Jesus is not a liar. Scripture teaches us there is one liar, and that's a Satan. And he's a father of lies. But Jesus, when he promised something, he said, I will send it. And he did send that. If we go on, John 14, verse 22. Going back, actually, I should say a little bit. John 14, verse 22 to 26. Reads as follows. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. Now remember here, he says we will come. He's talking about God and the Father and the Holy Spirit, because they three are one. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will be there. We will make our presence. We will make our relationship, our fellowship with him. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. These things have I spoken while I'm present. But he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he lets them know who this Comforter is, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Here, Jesus is having a conversation with James, or Judas, I should say. Judas, this is not Judas Iscariot. This is Judas, the brother of James. And he's having a conversation with him as to what he will do by sending the Comforter and what the Comforter will do for them. Then in John 16, verse 7, Jesus goes on and he says, John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, just as I said before, I read this verse before, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. It's following up that he needs to go. He needs to go so that the Comforter could come to the disciples and to those that follow later on. So the disciples have a promise. And the promise of that Holy Spirit that was to be sent, which came on the Pentecost day as they were gathered together, does some work. That comfort is not sent just to be a 2x4 or a piece of wood that we might want to say we want to worship, but doesn't do anything for us. But the Comforter is one that comes, which is the Holy Spirit, to work in people's lives. And John chapter 16, verse 8 to 11, speaks about the work that this Holy Spirit does in everyone out there that accepts him. John 16, 8 to 11, this is the work of the Spirit. And when he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin. This is the work that he will do. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then Jesus says, he breaks those three items down, the sin, the righteousness, and judgment. In verse 9, he says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. This is the work of that Holy Spirit. He wants to remind each and every one of the sin that they're living in. And then when they have received Christ, of the righteousness they can have and what they can feel when they have received the Father. And that there also will be judgment from the prince and how he will judge. So let's look at a few more items of the work of the Spirit. John 14, verse 26. I read that before, but I want to read it again. John 14, verse 26. He says, "And when but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." So what is the Spirit doing? It's being a teacher. It's teaching us things. It's telling, testifying of God, what God wants of us. And so the Holy Spirit goes with us, teaching us. If I go into a store and I see, man, that apple looks pretty nice. I would love to take a bite of that. Just grab one and eat it there while I'm shopping. The Spirit already intercedes into me saying, Cal, did you pay for it? Did you pay for that apple before you took that? And you're convicted or taught that it is sin, it is stealing. And so we could go on with many different examples. John 15, verse 26 reads as follows. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." This Spirit, when we have received it, it will testify of Jesus Christ. It will speak about him. It will be our teacher, but then through us, it will speak to others if we allow him to. That Spirit is going to do its work of testifying of who Jesus Christ is. When I think of these words, I think of John receiving this, and he wrote it, and it was just as well for all the disciples. They will have heard this. They knew that they were supposed to go out, and this Holy Spirit was going to be a teacher to them. Jesus was not going to be there more than those 40 days that he was there with them at the end. And so the teaching was going to come to an end, and they would need another one teaching them, which was the Holy Spirit. But then he also tells the disciples that their lifestyle or their having the Holy Spirit, they will not be able to. In a sense, I would like to say it this way. If they had received the Holy Spirit, they should not be able to stop testifying of who Jesus Christ is. So my question is this morning, have you and I received the Holy Spirit? Do we have Jesus Christ? Jesus says, out of our bellies will flow the living waters. If we have received him, we cannot stop that. We will testify of Jesus. It will be part of our life that we will desire to do. or that Christ will want to do through us, but we will willingly allow that because we have crucified ourselves. We've taken up the cross and allowed him to do his work through us. Now, John 16, verse 8. I read that before, but I want to read it again. It says, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit has come, he will reprove the world of sin. The Spirit itself goes out and reproves the world. It teaches the world. It knocks on those that are sinning, living a life of sin, and reminding them or telling them, listen, you are not living a life that is acceptable to God. This is the work of the Spirit. John 16, verse 13, reads as follows. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. This Spirit of truth has come to guide us. It has not just come to teach and that it'll testify, but it will guide us. I believe there's many times that these disciples will have thought of these words that Jesus said as they were going and they were teaching others, and knowing that they would be persecuted. They also had the refreshment in their mind, or knowing in their mind, that this Spirit of truth was going to guide them. And what is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit? What else does it want to do? Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me. The Spirit of God wants to glorify God. Glorify his son, Jesus Christ. He wants to bring forth who Jesus is and to bring glory to Jesus, who then in return returns it to God. The Spirit has work, and that Spirit wants to work in everyone who allows him to. John 16, verse 15 says this, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you. He shall shew it unto you. God wants to, through his Holy Spirit, display. He wants to show others who his God is and who our God is. The God who created everything. What else could we look at? We could look at Paul's letter to the Romans in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Spirit is working between God and us and witnessing. It bears that witness that we are his children. And then in Romans 8, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. If we have tough times, if we are struggling, he says, there are times like in our life that the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we're struggling, the Spirit already is working with God. Jesus, we could say, is looking at us. With his Holy Spirit, he is working with God that we have our struggles. He knows when we're depressed. He knows when we're discouraged. He knows when we're sick and we have pain. He knows when we're lonely. And the Spirit already does its work according to Romans 8, 26. He's a helper in prayer. Have any of you ever found yourself when you're praying and you know you need to pray because we know that we can have our communication with God and we can ask him and we can glorify him through prayer and so on. But do you ever feel that when you're praying that sometimes you are so needy you don't even know how to pray? You feel like the prayer that you're praying is just, you just can't seem to pray the way you would love to have an answer for. The Spirit already is doing that work. It's already groaning with God, knowing that oneself is struggling with something. And so we have the promise of this Holy Spirit that came to the disciples. And we have the work of the Holy Spirit that it is intended to do. And where Romans, Paul writes about what it does do. But Paul writes further what this Holy Spirit should have of a result in his believers. The result of the Holy Spirit being in our life and flowing through us produces fruit. We could look at the disciples. They sat there. They were taught patiently to wait. From the time that Jesus went up to heaven, was lifted up to heaven, to the time they received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Day, 10 days later, teaching them patience. And then after that, they received that Spirit of power that they could go out and preach in different languages. And then there was fruit. There was already fruit seen within the first two chapters, how the church multiplied. They preached the word. Peter stood up. He preached the word. And there were many that were pricked to the heart. They accepted Jesus and accepted baptism. But there's a fruit of a spirit that is a good fruit that comes from results of the Holy Spirit, which Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." And then Paul says, "Against such there is no law." This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is something that produces out of accepting the Holy Spirit. John writes in John 15, when we are that branch abiding in the vine, that God himself will prune every tree that beareth fruit, and the one that doesn't, he will chop off. And so we have to be part of Jesus Christ, and we are part of Jesus Christ. We draw the Holy Spirit out of the vine, which gives us the love, the peace, the joy. We're willing to have long-suffering. We're willing to be there to bear each other's burdens. We'll be gentle. There'll be goodness in us. We'll have faith. When we believe in things, we will receive. Meekness. Meekness, another word for that, will be gentleness. We will be gentle with one another. And then he says, and temperance. In other words, self-control. I today morning have to say that is something that I long that fruit could be part of my life more, is that I would have more self-control over my anger. Is there something that you have that you would long for in your own life to have self-control over more? The fruit of the Spirit is there. We need to ask for it so it can grow within us. Paul talks about having gifts, and we're supposed to covet more gifts. We're supposed to have that desire to have more gifts in us. So my question is, do you have some of this fruit of the Spirit in you? I want to say possibly you do. And I believe many, many of you do. And not just one of these, but many of these fruits are in your life. Now you may find, well, how come I still get, every once in a while I have certain things that I seem to be reminded that I'm doing wrong. Let's be reminded of John 15, where God says, or Jesus says, that God is a husbandman and he's pruning the branches that bear fruit. If you already have love, if you already have peace, you have that patience, you have gentleness with others, but you're struggling with anger, you might find God pruning on you. You might find God touching on your life and trying to trim out to bring forth more fruit. That's a result of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was a promise that disciples received. The Holy Spirit is doing its work by teaching, testifying, reproving, guiding, glorifying God, showing himself to others, helping us in prayer. And the Spirit of God is a fruit that dwells in all his believers. In Acts chapter 2, going back to Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 8, reads as follows. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? How can we hear this? Jesus' Spirit did the work. Jesus' Spirit became the witness through the lives of his disciples so that they, others, could hear who Jesus was and who Jesus is, I should say. Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20 reads as follows. Again, Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. This morning, my wish and prayer, just as well as these disciples were known by their fruits, yes, Peter had to remind the people that came and thought they were drunk in Acts chapter 2, as Peter speaks about that to them. He tells them that they are not full of wine, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in their tongues so they could all understand it. Are you and I known by our fruit? Or should we say, maybe I should ask, are other people, can they know that Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, by the fruit of our life? My wish and prayer is as the Spirit came upon the disciples and as it went on to the next generation and as it's upon us, that we will find ourselves allowing the fruit or the work of the Spirit to work through us, that we will go out and teach others, testify of Jesus. We will be guided by the Spirit to do these things so that the fruit of the Holy Spirit can be in our life, is my wish and prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am weak, but thou art strong. Lord, keep us from all wrong. Help us to root further into you. Help us to be that branch that becomes stronger when the winds come, that we find ourselves getting stronger and thicker in the way that we can withstand those trials. And as you prune on us, O God, I pray that we will keep our hands away from your willingness to prune on us so that you can have your free will in us and that you will then through that bring forth the fruit that you want in our lives. Thank you for this morning. May this message be a blessing to you that others would see and fully understand the work of your Spirit, what you want to do in their lives, what you want to do in our lives as your followers. And Lord, help us that our fruit that we have, that we would not stop and just be satisfied with a bit of fruit, but Lord, that we would have a desire to have more fruit grow in our life. and on our branch. This I pray in your precious name. Bless everyone this morning as they've listened. And Lord, heal those that need healing, whether mentally, physically. I pray for your Holy Spirit to guide and heal. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this morning, I thank you all for listening and tuning in. And so I want to close with the words out of the book of Jude. As Jude writes this, that we should go out and help others, building up others and keeping ourselves in the love of God. And that we're supposed to have compassion. That's part of the fruit. We have compassion. We go out and we make a difference. We testify. We are one that teach others, allow the Spirit to teach others through us. Then we try to, through that, save others from the fire. And so in closing, Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and me, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may go in peace, but go, take the Lord with you and the Holy Spirit to guide you. Amen.